This is Masters in Travel, a rendezvous at the intersection of travel and business to accelerate your success. I'm your host, Whitney Schindler, owner of Undiscovered Sunsets. Each week, we have one goal in mind, to provide advice, insights, and resources to help you maximize your potential. Get ready to become a master in travel. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Masters in Travel. I'm your host, Whitney. During my first year as a travel advisor, there was one thing that surprised me most about my new day-to-day. I had no idea how much time, energy, and effort would be dedicated to educating current and potential clients on the value of planning their travels with a travel advisor. I didn't fully realize how much this would be needed, let alone how to approach the topic and how to confidently articulate our value proposition in a way that was clear and concise. It became especially difficult when, in addition to the question, why should I plan my trip with a travel advisor, I was also trying to respond to the question they hadn't yet asked, which was, why should I work with you specifically? Finding the words to articulate our value proposition is often the first challenge, and then feeling prepared and confident to share this with the next person that might ask is another challenge that often takes practice to feel truly comfortable. For today's conversation, I'm joined by three amazing advisors. Beth Bastian is the founder of Bastian World Travel. Beth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Whitney. Excited to be here.
Kristen Hogeem is the founder of Travel Redesign. Kristen, welcome back.
Great to be here. Thanks.
And Robin Brown is a travel advisor and the CEO and co-founder of Teak, a boutique website branding and systems design studio for the modern travel advisor. Robin, so happy to have you on again.
Yes, so happy to be back.
This is such an important topic, and I believe it's one that will benefit the industry as a whole when we slowly start to shift the constant questions of what travel advisors still exist to, do you work with a travel advisor that you could recommend? Or, I saw your trip to Italy last year, would you mind connecting me with your travel advisor? Can you all imagine when we start to hear from potential clients that they assume and expect that a travel advisor is involved, as opposed to shock and surprise when they find out that someone planned a trip and they didn't do it on their own?
Yes, can't wait.
That's my goal. That's like my vision for life, is that it becomes an expectation that a travel advisor is involved. Mm-hmm.
And in a weird way, I'm truly hoping that COVID kind of impacts that. I feel like more and more people like who have booked with me, they're like, whoa, I can't even imagine going through all this nonsense without you. So like COVID has been a huge kick in the pants. But at the same time, I'm hoping it really does show our value a little bit more to people who may not have even considered it. Because a lot of people, they're nervous to travel. They want to, but they don't know how, or they don't know like the right way to go about travel insurance. They don't want to read all the crap you're supposed to read. So yep. I'm hoping in a weird way that COVID does like turn out to be so good for our industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it improve our value mm-hmm. more.
I had quite a few clients I had to literally rescue from overseas when borders were shutting down within 24 hours. And I think, you know, that is the, obviously that was a stressful scenario for all of us, but they came back and some of them, it was the first time working with a travel advisor. And they were like, I will never not work with one again, because they saw firsthand the power and the help that we can offer, right? Like none of us wanted to go through that crisis. I mean, that was, but it also, like you said, Robin, it really does show the value of travel advisors. And like Whitney was saying, I don't think we're going to hear anymore, oh, you guys still exist. I mean, the press has been really kind to us as well. I mean, all over the place, right? Wall Street Journal, New York Times. I mean, they're all saying, this is why you should not book travel without a travel advisor. So, but we all still, I think during those discovery calls, it's still important, right? To say, to express what our value is. And that's what we're going to chat about, right? How do we do that?
Yeah. And that's, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's what I was going to say next, is that I feel like our existence is on people's radar more, but then the next step of what does it actually mean to work with a travel advisor? Are all travel advisors created equally? You know, can I just pick any of them, or should I try to like find one that is planning a certain style of trip? Like, I think that's the next step. And that's where I've seen, I was always needing to educate clients and potential clients, but now more than ever, I received a couple of new inquiries that were, I could tell they'd never worked with a travel advisor before, but they didn't know mm-hmm. how I worked. They just kind of reached out to I just felt like I was the first name they could find. And I don't know how that happened, but it was very clear on that first phone call that they were like, oh, you do like super custom trips. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that, you know, you like this particular client had already done so much research. She knew exactly what she wanted. And she really just wanted me to click the button. And I was like, I don't know that this really makes sense, like, because I'm going to charge a fee and you've already done all of the work. And so we didn't work together. And so I think that now more than ever, we are on the radar. So we have to be like ready and prepped to say, this is the value that we bring. This is my ideal client. This is what I'm doing. Are we a good fit? And if we're not, maybe now we need to create our referral network of like, let me connect you with a different advisor that you can work with. Because I think that that only benefits the industry as a whole, instead of like sending the client off on their own and just being like, sorry, I'm not the right fit. If they go back to booking everything themselves, then that's not helping the industry. If we're saying, hey, let me connect you with an advisor who actually does what you're asking for, that might actually, I'm probably getting ahead of myself here, but that might be what we should start kind of thinking about.
Absolutely. I love that. That's such a good idea.
So for the first question I said, to begin with, let's back up a couple of steps. And I'm just curious to know from everyone, when you hear just the general topic of educating potential clients on the value a travel advisor provides, and you hear the phrase value proposition, what comes to mind for each of you? Kristen, what comes to mind, like first top of mind, what comes to mind for you?
In educating clients on the value, I think about the needs that we as travel advisors fill for our travelers. So this need may be based on, you know, it may be different based on the type of travel services, but every advisor brings expertise on either destinations, experiences. All of us absolutely save clients time. We provide perks. We provide a personalized approach to travel planning. I think that's one of the big ones, is we are there. You know, we are consistent contact, and we do this all, you know, day in and day out. And we offer that value for clients. I mean, we're all familiar with using like realtors, financial advisors, and other industry professionals. So travel advisors also provide an expertise and guidance, you know, as all industry professionals do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Robin, what comes top of mind for you when you hear people start talking about, you know, educating our clients and our value proposition? What's the first thing you think of?
Similar to like exactly what Kristen said, I always think of those other service providers. Like, can you buy a house by yourself? Yeah, sure. Like, can you renovate a house by yourself? Yeah, sure. But if you're like truly wanting to protect yourself, you're wanting to make sure it's done right, it's like making sure that when someone new does come to you, you are clearly explaining what difference differentiates you from an Expedia, because like we aren't an Expedia. We're like, and not everyone wants to be labeled as like a luxury travel advisor. Sometimes luxury isn't necessarily like what brand word you're trying to use to like get to your market niche. But regardless of whether you like think you sell luxury travel, everybody is a luxury service provider. And just making sure that no matter what, like in whatever stage it is. And my first thing, I always go to like branding your website and then your systems and how in each of those different things, you're properly articulating the value that you give. And I always use COVID as an example too. Like in times, like the protection I think is so crucial.
Beth, what comes top of mind for you?
I think we've all hinted to the fact that it really depends on who you're speaking to, right? Like we can all say, let's tick the boxes. We're travel experts, whether it's destination expertise, you know, saving time, stress and worry free planning, all of those, you know, tick, tick, tick. These are the, you know, we all have those value items in our mind of where we land. But at the end of the day, we need to answer the question to the problem, right? So if you're talking to a client and I'm going on and on about all my Italy expertise, and they've already done a ton of research, well, that doesn't show any value, right? Maybe instead they're like, oh my gosh, I've looked at 1,000 hotels. I don't know where to start. So it's asking those questions, but really answering the question that they have. I don't have the time. I don't even know where to go, but I want to go somewhere in October. You know, so just making sure that we can answer those questions as professionals. But I think at the same time, that old cliche, you know, time is money, which we all know we can save, you know, thousands and thousands of hours of research for them. But looping back around to COVID, also just having a real person. I think that's something that I'm really driving home of late, you know, and giving examples. I mean, during COVID and rescuing people and being there for them and talking to our partners on the ground, a lot of people that hadn't worked with me and were on hold with airlines for like 6 hours, they were like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Why didn't I work with you? So just having that real person when things go wrong, we are supporting you and we're there for you to help get things back on track.
I love that you're really highlighting the person to person relationship, because that is so important. And without thinking about it, I realized in listening to you yesterday, I created a Loom video for a new proposal that I was sending. So that is, if you listen to my episode with Robin and Jen, that's very much a part of my branded experience, because I want to create relationships. And relationships happen with face-to-face conversation. And so if we're not in person, I'm going to create a Loom video where you can see my face talking to you. But as part of that, they are really on the fence about two drastically different international itineraries. And should we do this one or should we do this one? And so I was working them through the pros and cons of each. But at the end of that, I said, whichever one we book, we are going to book this together with our air desk. And the pricing is going to be the same. But really where the win-win benefit comes in is that we have our air desk behind us to support us. So if there are any changes, if there are any cancellations, if we have to get a voucher or a future credit, that is going to save us so much time and energy. And we have those specialists behind us. So that's not something that I usually mention, but I did happen to mention like that backup support so that they really understood that we're going to book these flights together with us, whether we book it with like their package Tahiti or whether we book it separately. And so I love that you highlight the person to person. Something else that I thought of, and Beth, this idea came from you way back in one of our very first episodes when I asked you, what are some of the first questions you ask a new client to get to know them better? When I was thinking of how to best express our value proposition, I was thinking, I think we need to ask some questions first and understand, which is one of your questions, is how do you normally plan your travel?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I, you know, we've all had those DIYers that maybe they love the research, maybe they don't, right? So that's something that we have to uncover. If they've never worked with a travel advisor before and they've always done it themselves, maybe they're just like, that's too much weight on my shoulders, you know? And I was kind of going back to some of my client reviews. And one of the things that was like a common compliment, and I'm sure you guys have this as well, is Beth took all the stress out of the planning process and made it fun, you know, because when it's all on their shoulders and maybe they're working with their partner, maybe it's a family, maybe it's a group, but they know that feeling like, oh gosh, if something goes wrong, it's all on me, or I have to make sure to pick that perfect hotel. And so it's just having someone else on their team, right? For those DIYers. But then it could be a credit card concierge service where, again, like Whitney, you said, that's where the person to person comes into play. Like we're going to have a relationship. We're up to date. You know, I think some of those call centers, I mean, they haven't personally been to Paris lately or wherever they're talking about. And, you know, we can all kind of speak more personally to that. So definitely asking them, how have you planned in the past? That's so key.
That's so important too, because right now I actually am going on my delayed honeymoon. It was supposed to be last June. We're going to Hawaii. Like, I'm a travel advisor and I did not plan my trip. Like, it's a trip planned by Jennifer, because I was like, for a honeymoon, like, I have enough on my plate with the wedding, like my business, like it became, I can do it. I know all the places I want to go. Like, I know all the things I want to book, but it was like to sit down and to do it all was just so much, like, it was just that extra challenge. And it took the like relaxing, this is my honeymoon, I'm so excited for it, away, and kind of put it as like, I got to do my honeymoon today. Got to get that thing booked. And so even I outsource, and I have a lot of friends, and I'm a type A personality. I'm sure a lot of us are because of the planning aspect, but I have a ton of friends that are like, I'm a type A. Like, I love planning stuff. And I'm like, that's great. As a travel advisor, I'm not taking the planning away from you. You have 100% say in this itinerary, and I want your advice. Like, I want us to work together. But all of that not so fun stuff, that like making sure the tour is like still available and confirming and putting everything into an itinerary, like, nobody enjoys doing that part. That's the part that I'll take off your hands. You're still planning your trip. You're still picking what, you know, helicopter tour you want to go on, and like your itinerary still completely in your hands, but it's not fun to like,
it's not fun to research a rental car.
No,
it's not fun to research nobody loves how that. To get from the airport to your hotel. It's not like, it's still, so I try to like bring up those points and they're like, I love researching. I'm like, yeah, but you love researching the hotels and the tours. Do you love everything else? Like,
right.
No one does.
No one does. And if they do, they're crazy. And that's probably worth.
They should be a travel advisor if they really love rental cars.
On the spot.
And Robin, I love what you're saying about just collaborating. Like, yes, give me your ideas. And, you know, I think that one of the things that clients appreciate, new clients or potential, is they'll say, oh, I found this, for example, in Venice, you know, everybody wants to get in a gondola. And I was like, okay, let's talk about the right way to do this so that you have the best experience. Because if you just pick some willy-nilly tour, you may end up in a flotilla with six gondolas tied together, you know? So just making sure, like, yes, it's collaborative and I want to hear your ideas, but my expertise is going to say, yes, this is the right way to do this, or you may not want to do this, and this is why, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that right there, that little bit of conversation, I think the client or potential clients already seeing value in our expertise of just being honest of, like, you know, oh, that's a great idea. This is the best way. Or I have personal experience. Let's do something mm-hmm. else, you know, kind of thing.
Yes. And there's a good way and a bad way and a right way to do the gondola in Venice. And then if you get to know them and you see that they're interested, you can also say, would you be interested in going to a workshop to see where the gondolas are made?
Yeah.
Because I can also take you there. And that's something that you're not going to be able to Google. But all of these ideas that we're mentioning right now, I've come to realize this over time. So I do not want to say this as if I did this from the beginning, because I absolutely did not. But all of these ideas that we're sharing right now can only come if we've asked the client how they're normally planning. And it's like, then we can respond in a way that will speak to them. So it's like, are these time-starved people? Are these people who love to research, but we want to make sure they're finding the right options? Or, you know, like, what is the potential challenge? And then speak to that challenge instead of just launching into our elevator pitch and then be hi. Mm-hmm.
I think
that hasn't been very successful for me up until now.
One of the things that I also early on didn't stress, and I'd be curious, Robin and Kristen, what you think about this, but I feel very confident, you know, being part of a bigger consortium and being part of a bigger host agency, that the travel partners that we work with, whether it's a product like a hotel or a touring partner or even a transfer, I can feel confident that they've been stringently vetted, mm-hmm. right? So no matter where in the world someone wants to go, you have the confidence that those partners are trustworthy and they're going to deliver the quality. We can be assuring the clients that, you know, you can trust. And when they're online, I mean, they can see all this beautiful bells and whistles of a great website, but how do you really know, mm-hmm. right? So I kind of use, yes, I'm Beth Bastian with Bastian World Travel, but I also bring in kind of the big guns behind me, you know, to just let them know, you're not just dealing with me. I like you, you like me, let's get this going. But I've got some big muscle behind me if we need it. I don't know. Do you guys talk about that at all?
Yes, absolutely. That's so true. And I feel like people don't necessarily know. They just don't know what they don't know. And if they don't know that travel advisors can do that, can offer that, have that support, then they might not know to even use a travel advisor. But when we share those types of things, it changes the whole experience for them, because then they have confidence and peace of mind. I absolutely always tell, you know, potential clients that, yeah, we have destination partners all over the world that are vetted, that provide. I know enough about all of them to, I want to get to know you, your travel style, what's important to you, so I can help connect you to the right experiences, the right places, the right accommodations, you know? So, and yes, like to your point earlier about people that love to plan, and that's great if they love planning, and we don't necessarily take all of that away from them. They still have a say, but we can save them so much time by just kind of getting out of all, I mean, you go to the internet, it's just an overload of information. So we do this all, you know, all day, every day. We can so much faster guide them and point them mm-hmm. in a direction that we know they want to go to, because we've asked those questions mm-hmm. and know what they're looking for.
And I always talk through it on phone calls with my clients. It's like, how many times have you been so excited to whether visit a hotel, maybe it's a restaurant, new restaurant that opened, and online everything looks amazing and like you're going to have the best time, and then you get there and it's not what you thought. Like, I mean, even if I haven't been somewhere, I know the people who have been there, and like we have mm-hmm. that network. I think our network is just so incredibly valuable, because it's not only like other travel advisors where, you know, we work with at our agency. It's also these, like this network all over the world, which is incredible, because I mean, it makes me look like a rock star because I have more information, but it does, like Beth said, like you have big guns behind you. Like I can back my knowledge and I can back the experience you're going to get because I have the network to do so, and the people who've mm-hmm. been done that and can advise appropriately.
And the network is also what enables us to say, like, okay, you want to go on a gondola ride in Venice? If we stay with this example, if you you Google that, I don't know what happens if you Google gondola in Venice, but I bet 45 options will come up. But with our partners, we're like, here's the best one. So if you want to include this on your trip, then this is the one that we'll include and I'll make the arrangement. So it's like, if you're doing everything by yourself, you're not only researching what to do and like the top things to do in a place, but then you're like, okay, these are the things I want to do. Okay, which of these 45 gondola options am I supposed to sign up for? I often try to compare like what we do with a collaboration like to a wedding planner of like, I'm going to come to you with the top four florists in the area. They all have different styles and different like vibes and a different aesthetic. You just tell me the one you like, just say that one and then I'll go make it happen. Instead of you like Googling like florists for a wedding and lots of, you know what I mean? I like to compare it to like a wedding planner.
Yeah. As a girl planning her wedding right now, it's incredibly overwhelming because I was like, I can handle it myself, no big deal. And then you sit down and you attempt and you're like, all the details you wouldn't think of. Like, and that goes back to travel as well. Like, do you have transfers to and from your hotel? Like with COVID, you have to have transfers booked in certain places. Did you know that? Like, are you up to date with what's currently going on and the vaccinations requirement and all the craziness? Yep. Like, it's a lot to keep track of and like, you can do it, but like, you will spend a lot of time doing so. So, I mean, again,
the time saver.
Like, yeah, you gotta like, and each of the inquiry calls, like, I think that's just one of those ways to show value and like not slap it over them and be like, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, okay, well, something to keep in mind about that. And it's like dropping nuggets of knowledge along the way only helps. You can do that on social media too. Like, little educational posts or getting on your stories and talking about the latest COVID trends or, you know, whatever it is, just the education, the knowledge.
Yeah, I love the education component. I think, you know, like when the January 26th, the CDC new regulations for people coming into the US, I mean, I had a lot of clients going out to Mexico thinking, this is easy breezy. I'm just going to bop down there. And they had no idea. They were like, wait, what? You know, so, you know, showing the expertise is also part of that value and educating people, like you said, Robin, like with social media or newsletters, I think that's just as a way to continually stay in front of clients and potential clients as we're talking value, educating them on this very fluid landscape of travel is so important. And I would say 99% of our clients are going to value that up-to-date information that we can deliver.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Masters in Travel. Since starting your travel business, how many times have you said to another advisor, if only I had known about this sooner? There are so many resources available to travel advisors, from podcasts and news publications to tools and systems to services and professionals that specialize and cater to the travel industry. But finding them and knowing about them is often left to a random, unexpected conversation with another advisor. The Masters in Travel Resource Library is a free resource for travel advisors by travel advisors that includes a compilation of all the resources that are available so that you can learn about, research, and implement these resources when the timing is right in your business and when it can benefit you most. In the Resource Library for Travel Advisors, you'll find three main subsections: Learn, Execute, and Delegate. In the Learn subsection, you'll find articles, podcasts, webinars, and courses. Once you've learned about a specific topic and you have a plan to move forward, there are most likely tools and systems that will enable you to execute as efficiently and effectively as possible. In the Execute subsection, you'll find tools, systems, and templates. As your business grows, a desire and a need to delegate and to offload some of the daily and weekly tasks will emerge. In the Delegate subsection, you'll find service providers who can do just that. Take some of those time-consuming tasks off your hands and apply their expertise to this area of your business. Most of them cater specifically to the travel advisor community, so it's a win-win for everyone. And the best part? Advisors are submitting new resources to add to the library every week. If you're listening and if you've contributed resources already, thank you for your collaborative spirit and for your generosity in growing this resource for the travel advisor community. To learn more and to sign up for the Resource Library for Travel Advisors, go to community.mastersintravel.co. That's community.mastersintravel.co. Okay, back to the conversation.
So I'm curious to know, we've talked a little bit about people coming back at the idea of working with a travel advisor, saying that they really enjoy the planning and the research. What are some other pushbacks that you've received when you introduce yourself as a travel advisor or when you've talked to someone about working with a travel advisor and how beneficial it might be? What are some common pushbacks you guys hear?
I think in the beginning, I wasn't confident with my fee. And I kind of would do this discovery call. And then at the end, meekly put in there, so to keep going, you know, it was just not a confident presentation for my fee at all. And in the beginning, I'd say maybe a couple people push back on, oh, like kind of like, oh, wait, what? You know, they were kind of surprised that at the end of this whole conversation and I'm getting all the buying signals, yes, work together. Oh, I have to pay to work with you. So I learned from that in that A, before I have a live discovery call, I have a very fun, colorful, simple infographic that tells you exactly what my fee structure is and what you get for that. So they're already looking at that before we get on the call, knowing this is the value of, you know, XYZ fee for this service. I don't get that pushback anymore because of that prep work and because I'm more confident in how to express the value during that discovery call, confidently at the end of it say, okay, so the next step is it's this much to work A to Z itinerary. I'll send you an invoice and then we can get started. How does that sound? And none of this like, mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way,
you know. And I think as you get into it, you kind of learn to be okay in like offering that knowledge up ahead of time, because like how many times have you, I've done it personally, you like waste your time on a call and then it's like, by the way, and they're like, oh, bye. And you're like, that was a waste of my time. Like, if they're not a fit, if they're not going to, you know, go forward because of this, let's get them out. Let's go find mm-hmm. a client. And like, I used to always take that as like a negative. It's like, I lost a sale. And it's like, no, I made room for mm-hmm. that next best client. Like there is more space in my like day for that one big trip with the client who values me already. Cause like, I think that's one thing. We don't necessarily have fees, but like it's nickel and diming almost. Like, can I match you? Like, are you gonna be as cheap as online? And it's like, okay, no, like I'm not always the cheapest option, but here is why. And having that kind of ready to go. Because again, I mean, some of these deals people find online, I'm like, if you're comfortable and you really want like that $99 room, I can't give you that. Like. Yeah. So like being okay with getting blessing and releasing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that you brought up the, you know, I guess one of the pushbacks I get is, will it be more expensive to work with you? And then this is also the pushback on the other side of, are you going to give it to me as cheap as possible? And so a big, big part of my client education, not necessarily about convincing you to work with me, because I've got some clients who are, they know about my fee. They're happy to pay my fee. They're ready to work with me, but then they're still sending me like these insane deal type things that they're finding. And it's always like, what are your thoughts on this? And I'm like, I'm going to call you this afternoon. Like, this is not an email response. And a big part of education is explaining the value that you lose by booking the cheapest possible room. And it comes so often with hotels, right? And I think that is first, like being able to sit down and fully understand what it means, like the value that you've lost, like understanding not just the dollars and cents, not just adding up the value of the amenities of the breakfast or the upgrade that might be included and trying to put a number on that, but also helping clients realize that if you book on an OTA, the cheapest room you can find, they're going to give you the worst room in the hotel. And you're going to be the first one that has walked. And when you ask for an early check-in or a late check-out, they're probably not even going to make eye contact with you, literally. And so yeah. That's, I think, knowing those things behind the scenes and then being able to professionally talk with clients about the value that they're losing. Every single client who has sent me those types of bottom of the barrel discounts, once I spoke to them about it and talked to them, and I just keep saying value. I just keep saying like, what my role as a travel advisor is not to find the cheapest possible price. My role as a travel advisor is to maximize the value of your investment.
Yes.
And yes. When I use words like that, like value and investment and not like cheap and free, then I feel like their mindset shifts a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm guessing all of you would say the same thing in those discovery calls. With maybe it's an existing client too, like Whitney said, they're throwing you, you know, screenshots of an Expedia rate or something. But whenever I'm talking to someone, and honestly, it's even sometimes friends that have never officially worked with me, they'll call me and be like, what kind of deal can you get me on this? And I'm like, no. Anytime I hear the word deal,
back it up.
It's yeah. And so Whitney, you know, by using those terms, investment, value, also, I think when it comes to COVID and like Robin and Kristen, you were hinting to with protecting your investment, right? We understand we have these relationships with hotels. I have a lot of clients that booked non-refundable hotels for March of 2020. Now,
I don't understand.
Obviously, that didn't happen. You know what would have happened if they hadn't worked with me? They would have been out thousands and thousands of dollars. But now we're on our third renovations with these Italian hotels, with these Greek hotel partners. They've all rolled over that room, same mm-hmm. category, same rate, no money lost. I don't know what else you can, I mean, that's amazing, right? Like, and I am so appreciative and it builds the relationships that we have. But again, just going back to, it's not about the deal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just something to really, you know, be delicate when we're having that conversation. But again, just showing this is the value that we bring based on your investment. Yeah.
And in addition to that, I would say it's not about the deal. And what it is about elevated experiences, or at least that's what we talk about in our initial call. It's like, what type of experience are you looking for? Because my job is to connect you to like, just incredible, memorable, awesome experiences. Place like, we want your vacation to be amazing and exciting. And you want to come back with awesome memories. And the deal, I mean, we're going to get you a great value. And we're going to, you know, find places that are going to give you good perks and great service and all of that. But you're also paying for that, just like with anything, you know?
I was just going to say, it's like hiring an interior designer and be like, well, at IKEA, they've got these plates.
Like, what's your overall look that you're going for? What's the quality? What's the, you know, how durable is it? Like, what are the other questions there? Yeah.
And Robin, I love how you said like kind of bless and release. This is probably not as refined as bless and release, but I have said on more than one occasion, I am not competing with the internet.
Never.
If you can find this cheap price and that deal, and then I describe to you the value, and then we talk about it, and then you still want that cheap price, then bless and release. Like, I'm not competing with the internet. I think you should do what you want to do, and I don't think that we're a good fit. And it's okay to say that.
Yes, absolutely. Because, like, again, like every trip you... And maybe somebody does book a honeymoon with me. And this happens a lot. You book a honeymoon, then you get the anniversary, and then you get the family trip, and then there's a multi-generational trip. But like I tell people all the time, like there's certain trips where it's like maybe you don't need me. And that's okay. Like if it's a quick little trip to Disney World that's like right down the road from your house and you just need me to book a hotel, not for you, honey. But like that big trip to Italy next year that seems daunting and a little bit intense, like use me because of the value I add. Like on the trips, you don't want to just get a quick little deal and hop on over real quick to like Asheville or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I tell people like I pride myself, like I can work with everybody. Like I want to help everybody travel who wants to travel, but that doesn't mean I'm always the best fit for you. And my clients appreciate that too. Mm-hmm. Like I'll just be frank, like, you know, I would love to work with you, but this might not be the best fit for both of us right now. That like come back to me with that anniversary trip or whatever it is. So
that's so true.
Again, make room.
Yeah, that's so true. We can't be all things to all people and do everything, you know, so we have our specialties. And when we work in that area and that those destinations and those types of vacations, we can deliver really amazing experiences. But it doesn't need to be all trips all the time for everybody. Yeah.
Robin, you also reminded me that something else I have said before to potential clients, but also to current clients is like what you're asking for, like this quick little getaway or just like a little airport hotel or, you know, whatever it is. I can do this for you. I'm not going to elevate the experience in this particular case. So if you're looking for an elevated experience, I just want to be really honest with you. If you just want me to take this off your plate, consider it done. If you're a current client, like consider it done. Check it off your to-do list. But if it's a new client just asking for something small, that is also a clarification. Kind of like Kristen, I love when you talk about elevating. It's like, my expertise isn't going to come into play here. I'm just kind of just getting this done for you. And I try to make that differentiation as well. Mm-hmm. One time this happened on a fam, and this was just a guy that was on the ship. He wasn't like a client. It was just like someone, we were scuba diving and he was a scuba diver. So we started talking and he found out I was a travel advisor. And he said, he's like, yeah, I don't want to be sold to. And I was like, no one's selling to you. Yeah. Like, it was the strangest pushback ever. And you know, that was the type of situation. I only bring that up to say I didn't pursue the conversation further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it was just very clear that there was like a brick wall up that was like, nothing that I was going to say was going to show him that I wasn't there to sell to anyone. I'm not even the one that brought up that I was a travel advisor. He asked me what I did and I said, I'm a travel advisor. So there are also some situations in which just let it go, like just let it be, that they're not a client for us.
You made me remember, Whitney, I had a pretty high C-level client who was friends with a C-level client that I've worked with since the beginning. Like, he just was, you know, singing my praises to this guy. And the other guy said to me straight up, he's like, I would never work with you. And I was like, what? Why? And he goes, because all you're going to do is mark everything way up. You're going to give me one single price. I'm not going to see where things are coming from. It's going to be like my interior designer. I say I want to redo my kitchen and she throws a bill down for $40,000. And I was like, I couldn't help myself though. I had to a little bit get in there, you know, and say, look, I understand maybe you've had that experience in the past, but my goal is to be transparent with my clients. Everyone needs to make money for sure. But to give you like perspective, any hotel bookings that I make are going to be exactly the same as if you published direct with that hotel online. And this is the value you'd get. And this is, and I kind of just, because he was a C-level and he had kind of a finance background, I go, this is where we make our money. You know, it's 10%, it's not 50%, and it's on the back end. And it was just, he didn't know what to say. He actually was like, oh.
Good for you. I feel like I also would have responded to that. I wouldn't have been able to just be like, okay.
Yeah.
Because he was mistaken. And I think it is important in that type of scenario to be like, well, actually, that's not necessarily the case. But the other pushback I do get is, will it be more expensive? Or they don't even ask, they just assume that it will be more expensive to work with a travel advisor. And I try to be super, super upfront on every single discovery call that we work, most of us, I work on a fee plus commission basis, which means you are going to spend the exact same amount of money on your trip with me or without me. The only additional expense is my upfront fee. And then a lot of them are just kind of like, well, then how do you make money? And then I explain the commission basis. And so once all that kind of comes out and that transparency is offered, I've never had anyone concerned. And then we just kind of go forward from there.
Very similar. I had to redo because I have like kind of an overview of my discovery call and what I want to walk through and touch on and the questions I want to ask and stuff. And I had to redo it because all of a sudden I was like talking to Jen. I'm like, I know these people are pricing me behind my back. Like, what am I doing wrong? And it was the whole, I was not upfront about commission and like nobody really knew how we got paid. So like kind of putting it, like laying it out on the table for them, mm-hmm. It all made sense. I mean, nobody wants to shortchange somebody for like labor. Like, you're not going to go get your hair done and like spend all this hours with a girl dyeing your hair and then be like, no, like not going to pay you. Like, even if it's not what you love, like you may have picked the color and you don't love the color. Like, you're not just going to be like, okay, I'm not going to pay you now. Like, so I think that's becoming comfortable enough and getting how I wanted to translate into it and kind of practicing a little bit down and saying it confidently. I used to always say it like meek and mild and you're like beep boop bop money and then you're done.
Speaking of confidence and like how you find your confidence to say this, I don't know that I have any better advice other than I totally was faking it until I made it. I don't know that I have any other advice. Do you guys, can you be a better coach on finding this confidence?
I do think confidence comes from experience and just, yeah, the more you do it, the more you honestly just, yeah, feel confident doing it. And you fully understand your value too. Like, I think maybe when you're getting started out, it's kind of, you know, you're really trying to just figure everything out. But as you go along, you know how many hours you put into every trip and how much you care and how attentive you are and responsive. And that is worth that's worth time. That's worth the money that you get for it. So I think your confidence comes from knowing the value that you're providing and your and once you do trips and you have clients have great testimonials and they come back from vacations and they won't stop using you because they love your services, that creates confidence to know, okay, for every new traveler, I'm going to do the same, you know, I'm going to create a similar experience.
Have you guys ever, I've thought about doing this. I don't think I've really put it in practice, but anyone that may push back a little bit on a fee, have you ever estimated the number of hours you expect to spend on an itinerary and just shared something like, you know, I can understand that's a significant investment on your part, but just based on what we've talked about, I mean, I'm estimating, you know, 20 to 30 hours at least, You know, have any of you guys done that?
I've done that, especially for like international travel. If it's like a trip to Italy or something and you're looking at a custom, you know, day by day itinerary, you know that it's going to take, 20 or 30 hours to put that together over time. And what's nice is even in like, you can see all the emails back and forth over the months leading up to the trip.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it takes that time.
Mm-hmm. I haven't ever like said that out loud, but I think it's a really good point for if clients are just really not able to wrap their minds around why we would need a fee. As part of my transparency on how we earn money, I also am sure to mention that the commissions are earned after the trip, not like when you book it. And so I feel like the fee plus commission is kind of like, because I've also had clients, you're only charging $500 to plan our destination wedding, which I probably should have charged more now that I did it, now that I see what it means to do that. But they were like, how can you live off this? And I was like, oh, I also make commission on the back end. They actually thought I wasn't charging enough because they thought I was only earning on the fee. So like the transparency just like has cracked it open for everyone, no matter where they are in the spectrum. But then in addition to the fee plus commission structure, I've also started being really upfront that like the fee is what's required to get started on the proposal and the custom itinerary and going through ideas. I earn commissions after you travel. So they can do the math of like, when are you asking? You want to go in summer of 22?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's also helped. But I haven't ever broken down the hours, but I think that's smart.
So smart.
Hey everyone, we'll get back to the show in just a minute. We have a question for you.
Corinne here of Travel Biz Boss. On a scale from 1 to I'm a total systems nerd, how optimized is your business right now?
As you might have already guessed, Corinne and I are both on the extreme end of the total systems nerd spectrum. Although we are two travel advisors who are running very different businesses, no matter how different our day-to-day might look, there is one free tool that is the foundation of both of our businesses, Trello.
Just for you, we collaborated in Trello, of course, to create Trello for your travel biz. We both recognized a need in our businesses to organize everything from new leads coming in to all the notes we jotted down during client calls, webinars, and trade shows.
We needed a one-stop shop to brain dump, to set goals, to create a marketing plan, to collaborate, and to manage projects. This is all possible in Trello, and we've created a course to show you how this one free tool will enable you to do all of these things and so much more.
To learn more and for immediate access to the sessions, head to TrelloForYourTravelBiz.com. In these sessions, we take you step by step through all of the ways in which we utilize Trello in our businesses. And of course, we've included a set of templates to give you an epic head start.
During each session, we guide you to set up the foundation for your travel business. Head over to TrelloForYourTravelBiz.com to learn more and to optimize your travel business. Okay, back to the show.
Robin, you mentioned very briefly previously about educating clients, like whether it's on social media or however it is. So I'm curious to know how each of you take a more proactive approach to educating clients on our value and on like kind of what we bring to the table, as opposed to waiting until someone's like, hey, what do you do? And then like it's elevator pitch time. What strategies are you guys taking, whether it's in a discovery call, on a website, in social media? How are you guys taking more of a proactive approach with this?
I love social media. So, you know, I think it's a great tool. A lot of people I know get very intimidated by whatever, whether it's Facebook or whether it's Instagram. The algorithm's always changing. Like, who can keep up with all this stuff? But I do think it is such a great tool to connect and like warm these leads for you. Because if you start talking about what you do and you start being more transparent about these common questions you're running into, and you like pop onto Instagram for a second and you're like, hey, like happy Wednesday. I've been getting this question a lot. I'm going to address it. Here's my face. Here's my personality. Like, and like letting people kind of peel back the curtain, right? Like before I got into the travel industry, I had no idea like all of the things that went into travel planning and what the benefits were. It was like this secret land of this like picture perfect like career path that I was so obsessed with and I couldn't wait to dive in. But I also at the same time had no idea how it worked. And I think our whole process is pretty complicated. Like there's suppliers, there's like booking direct with hotels. What is a consortia? Who is Virtuoso? Why do I care about them if I'm a client type of thing? There's so many. To us, it makes sense. And I don't think some of us as advisors don't take a step back and say like, whoa, 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 as a potential client, would me talking about this make sense to you or would it confuse you? And do I need to break it down more? So I would say hopping onto social media and just like, I'm getting this question a lot, like, and throw it into one of those story highlights for people to refer back to, like an FAQ section. And then in website, like making sure if you do get a lot of questions on your process, it's like clearly identified and like the client knows where to go to review your process, or you have different levels of service packages. Make sure that's a page on your website. So then when people are reaching out, here's a link to my website. It goes through all the services. There's an FAQ section down there as well. Feel free to check it out. I think there's just so many between social media and website. There's so many ways to give that education and making sure, I think that if you do it effectively, when clients come to you, it'll be a much more smooth process for us. It'll be less like question after question after question. It's like, dang, I'm answering all these all over again. So I am a firm believer in using social media, like especially Instagram, for those FAQs, and then also throwing them onto websites, anywhere, like service page, contact page, process page, whatever it is, and really beefing them out and giving people the information they want, because people research.
Yeah,
that's great. But yeah, just this last year, I started going to social media to just share videos. So I have a YouTube, it's Travel with Kristen, and I just do short videos that cover just updates in the travel industry right now, helping to also keep people inspired. So like what trends and predictions are being expected for 2021, or, you know, how are hotels responding? What can you expect to stay at hotels right now during COVID? Like things like that. So just for existing clients or maybe potential clients, it's a way to just try to stay top of mind and show them that, okay, we are staying up to date with travel. You know, as travel advisors, we are constantly being updated with all this information so we can help you when it is time to travel, or help you go somewhere and still, you know, create experiences during this time. You don't have to necessarily stop. There's places you can still travel to that are closer to home.
Yeah. I think going back to Robin's point too, it can be overwhelming, I think, for some advisors, because there's so many different platforms out there, right? There's LinkedIn, there's Instagram, there's Facebook, there's newsletters, there's websites, there's video, there's YouTube, there's so many things. And when I first launched my business, I did it all, right? And you didn't have the business to take away, so you had the time. But then you get to be overwhelmed and you're like, okay, pick a lane which you kind of feel can speak to your clients. And in the beginning, I was like, newsletter, really? Like who, what? No one's going to read. I could not believe how effective it was. I mean, within 24 hours of every single newsletter I think I've published, I've had an inquiry. And that's where it can be travel inspiration, but that's also where the value comes in. And it can be, let's remind you again what we do. And it's so surprising to me, Whitney and I have talked about this. I don't know if you gals have had this happen. You have clients that you've done the big trips, the big Bali, the big Europe, what have you. And then you find out they booked the Four Seasons, Papagayo, and Costa Rica on their own. You're like, no.
Oh my God. That's not how it works.
So yeah. I pretty much biannually say, don't forget, we book hotels a la carte, and this is why book with us. So it's this constant, even clients that I love and come to me all the time, they just sometimes, you know, forget those value, that value. But what I was going to say too is, so two things on the value with the newsletter, I always put a review at the bottom. It's a recent review, it's a true client, and it just, I think, speaks to anyone who's reading it like, oh, okay, this person elevated their experience. They had this amazing, unique Northern Belize like night safari that I would have never found on my own. And then with social media, I've picked the lane Instagram. I'm actually seeing an ROI for the first time in 5 years. It's amazing. And one of the things I've shifted, and I think you gals are doing this, is I used to be all travel inspiration. This is where I am now. Go to, you know, Africa, whatever. What I've started to do is intersperse it with client quotes. Like, we've just booked this client into this hotel, and pulling an image from the Malibu Inn. And this is, we had such a great time. Thanks for the welcome amenity. And just like showing your followers, like, we're not just about like pretty pictures of pools and palm trees, right? We actually, our clients are really happy with where they're going, and this is what they're saying. So, and also interspersing it with our faces. I was hesitant to be like, this is me. But I think that's the best way, like Whitney, you were saying, to connect with clients and really get that personal level is like just being personal. Like, here was my son and I in this moment in Paris. I don't know what we were laughing about, but this is why I love travel. Like that personal connection interspersed with all the other value. It's just interesting because I'm still learning, you know, like where to post all this, where to do with all this information.
It's a lot. It is a lot. But I love that you said Instagram. And I think the reason people are starting to get more into Instagram is because you are able to show your face. Like people connect with people. And like, I love that you talk about testimonials and reviews. Like, I think it's so true for all of us. It's like the proof is really in the pudding. When you get client testimonials, I think that's one of the most invaluable things in the world. And for a lot of the agents I work with now, when I'm doing websites, that's one of the things I always want on a homepage is like a scrolling client testimonial list. Like, and if you're not right now, like collecting those reviews on the back end, I would 1000% make sure to include it into your systems and workflow with a client at like the trip wrap up to try to capture it somewhere. Like we have like screenshots of clients who text us, and this is mostly kind of teak now, but when clients text us and they're like, I'm obsessed with my website. I can't believe how easy it was to launch. Like it's so amazing. It's like, I just screenshot that. And that's the easiest thing to share on Instagram. And you're like, heart's fluttering right now because of these awesome reviews. And then before clients leave, we started including in our little Bon Voyage wrap-up email, tagging us on social media so that we can travel virtually with you. But then making sure that you take those people who are like, oh, just made it to paradise. Like, thanks, Robin and Exploratory Travel for booking our honeymoon. Like sharing that to your social media and like people seeing other people traveling through your services it's so awesome.
And what I found in a lot of my testimonials is my clients and the testimonials are saying the same things that I want to say about how I just took all the stress away from them, how I found all the ungoogleable, super unique things, how the itinerary was just perfect for them. I have this one review on my website that like, it will be there for the rest of time because this one client, I think he sent me like one sentence, but he was just like, this trip was perfect for us, period. And he understood that that trip wouldn't be perfect for everyone, but it was perfect, exactly what he was looking for in that moment. And I'm like, you're the first testimonial on my website because that is what I'm trying to accomplish. And so gathering testimonials and then most importantly, gathering them and then sharing them. Clients are often saying all the things that we're saying too, but people receive it much better when it's coming from someone else. We're no longer selling ourselves. We're just saying, hey guys, look.
From your husband and then hearing a compliment from your friends. Like it's totally different. It's like one ear and out the other. You look beautiful today. And then it's like somebody random will say, and you're like, oh my God. Just like hearing it from a different person sometimes. All the difference.
Beth, you mentioned like we're always learning. Robin, I love your idea of having a page that might not even be live, but that you link prior to the discovery call. Maybe the information is kind of like dispersed, but I've been trying to come up with the best way to be like, here's what you need to know about me before we get on this discovery call. And if something about this doesn't fit what you're looking for, cancel the discovery call.
So true. Like a hidden sales page that links to a website will be the best thing you could possibly do for yourself because, again, it kind of like weeds people out for you. So review all the services you offer, review all the packages, throw those FAQs in there, hit them with a client testimonial or two, like, and then boom, like, I think you.
And then just like, I'm looking forward to talking with you. We'll go over more questions, but it's like, I've set up so many hurdles and so many filters to get to my discovery call. But just last week, I had another discovery call. And I even added something to my form of like, Undiscovered Sunsets charges a fee. By clicking this, you're saying that like, you've seen my services page, you know that we charge a fee. They click yes. And then we get to the end of a 30-minute discovery call. And I say my fee. And she's like, what?
Oh,
I've set up so many hurdles. I don't know how it was possible that she got through all my hurdles and then was surprised, but it goes to show that you can't say something once and just assume that everyone knows. I love the idea of a hidden sales page to be like, okay, now you're on my calendar one more time for the people in the back. This is what it looks. This is what I do.
I hear this. I think it'll be something we offer for Teak too. Like, cause it does make all the difference. And
but also The sales page approach, I also love this because I've also recently, it's funny, so many things are happening recently because I do feel like because of COVID, people are like open to working with travel advisors, but they don't know what they're getting into. So I've also recently been on a call where the wife was all in, like she found my website through a Google rabbit hole. I still am just amazed when this happens. But when I ask like, how did you find me? She's like, a lot of research. I'm like, wow, okay. The husband clearly, visibly was not in. He was not convinced. He was like, you know, like very, because it was a video call. So like I could see him physically, like my wife set this up. I'm sorry, I have to be here. Like I could see that. And so the whole time I was trying to talk about my services without sounding like I was trying to sell myself, and they're in, we're working together, everything is good. But a sales page could have helped if he would have looked at it before to talk about me, to talk about my experience, my specialty, my services, my testimonial, and walk people through a typical sales page before the discovery call so that when he arrives at the discovery call that he's already decided that he's in, rather than him trying to decide through the 30 minutes of our call and then they take 2 weeks to pay my fee and it's like kind of like fine. Like that's an entirely different experience.
Well, and you're taking away the like, okay, you've seen my homepage. Now you have to click over here and go to my process page. And then that's where you'll see FAQs. I really love like what you said. It's all right there. Like it is all outlined for you. You are not clicking and you are not moving to another place. And we do this with some of our proposals too. It's like everything you need about this service is right here. Like you don't have to go to the about and then the why work with us. And then over here to the blog to read that one little freebie I included for fun or whatever. So,
And then the services page to see like, well, this might be a fee for this, but this might be a fee for this. Like we assume that everyone's clicking around to all of our pages, but in fact, they probably aren't.
Exactly.
You're making me realize this.
I know. It's not
right.
You sit down and you're like, do you need a 20-page website? No, girlfriend, you need like a 3-page website. Like get the information on there, make it pretty, like give everybody what they need and then let it work for you. Don't make it some huge, crazy hurdle. Like simple call to actions everywhere and you're good.
Love it. One final question for everyone. What one piece of advice would you offer to advisors when it comes to educating clients and potential clients about the value that we provide as travel advisors?
Leading back to what we all were discussing earlier is ask the questions so that you understand what's of value to that individual. Because we all know we have this list of valuable assets that we can offer to every single client who wants to travel. But we're spinning our wheels if we're focusing on destination expertise and they just want to save time or they're worried about COVID insurance. So just making sure to ask those questions first and read the room, you know, and just address the value to what's important to them. And I think at the end of the day, it summarizes that we're going to make the planning process fun, worry-free, stress-free, and as Kristen alluded, we're going to elevate your trip to have a trip better than you ever imagined working together.
Love that. What she said. What one piece of advice would you offer, Kristen?
My advice would be to know your unique value proposition. Really think about what makes you unique and different than other like travel advisors, or what's your specialty or your niche, and share that with clients. So it really helps the client really understand what you offer and how you can provide an amazing experience for them.
I love that because you really highlight that there is a why should you work with a travel advisor conversation, and there's a why should I work with you as my travel advisor conversation. And those might all happen at the same time in one whole big conversation, but you need to be prepared for both. Because if you can talk about the values a travel advisor can bring to the table all day long, but then there's two travel advisors that they happen to know from referrals of friends, you haven't closed that deal yet if you haven't convinced them to work with you.
Wow, I had something in my head. I'm gonna go a totally different direction with it. I was gonna originally say, don't be afraid of those like icky topics, like don't shy away from the money talk and like talking through that, because the more education you give people, the more likely they are to walk into a relationship with you with their eyes wide open instead of like, I think this is a good fit. But another thing that you just made me think of is to really showcase your personality, like treat those sales calls, because people join people, like people buy from people because of like the type of person they are. So really use like you said, without your process, like those Loom calls to really like weave your personality in. Make sure that you're not just getting onto a sales call with somebody and you're like, blah, 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 travel. Everything is beautiful. Like, this is working about me. Like, really try to connect with them. Like, maybe you went somewhere similar on your honeymoon and like, I don't know, like really take the time to get to know your client, because at the end of the day, like, people do prefer to work with people they like. And if they like you, they're going to work with you again. They're going to enjoy their process more. You're going to enjoy it more because it's no longer this like weird, stiff relationship between like client and travel advisor. So I would say definitely use those discovery calls to showcase your personality, and do that on social media and stuff too. Like, really make sure people know who you are, who you're working with, and you're not only knowledgeable, but you're fun. Like, I feel like that's what's gonna, people want to work with people who are fun.
Love that. Yeah, people buy from people, right?
And I just kind of thought of this while you were talking, but in terms of building the confidence to say all of these things out loud, social media is really good practice, because you are typing out captions that you have to sit there and think about, and you have to, you know, write these captions with intention. Then you can get on Instagram stories and you can record it 12 times if you need to, right? Social media actually seems terrifying, but when you think about the fact that you can delete and start over, it's actually a lot less terrifying than a live real person standing in front of you asking the question. So I would just give the advice of thinking how you want to approach the question, why should I work with a travel advisor? Come up with ideas, write some captions, talk about it on IG stories in practice. Then think about, why should people work with you as a travel advisor? Write some captions, talk about it on IG stories. And then most importantly, as Robin, you said, just know that not everyone is for you. And if you don't click with someone, or if someone's like, yeah, I mean, I understand everything that you're saying, but like, I don't need that, let them go. That's totally cool, because you're just making room for the next client that is going to be a really good fit.
Yeah.
Beth, Kristen, and Robin, this has been so wonderful. As per usual, I've learned a tremendous amount in recording this episode, and I've added things to my to-do list to go implement immediately after. Thank you for sharing your ideas and your experience when it comes to educating travelers about the value of working with a travel advisor, and most importantly, how best we can communicate the value that we bring to the table. Thank you all for your willingness and for your enthusiasm to be a part of the conversation.
Thanks, Whitney.
Yay, that was so much.
Thank you, Whitney.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Masters in Travel. If you loved today's interview as much as I did, please take a moment to leave a review, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and be sure to share this podcast with an advisor who is ready to level up their travel business. If you want more, head over to community.mastersintravel.co. When joining our community, you'll gain access to our free resource library for travel advisors, and you'll be the first to know about courses and workshops created for travel advisors by travel advisors. If you're ready to accelerate the success of your travel business, you can also join our private community and think tank. Learn more and join the conversation at community.mastersintravel.co. To continue the conversation, find us on Instagram at @mastersintravel, where we preview upcoming episodes and engage with our listeners to decide what topics to cover next. We'll see you next time.